Yippee! Yippee! Yippee!
Listen, let the title of this thing. Don't title again.
Anda de lo le di el
du mare. Is it rolling, Bob?
Check, check, check. Oh, that's not too annoying. It's pretty loud. Yeah. Welcome to Dixon Jane's number 794, I believe. For a Saturday night. Sitting in the road trek, of course. Just after 9 p.m., just starting to get dark. I'm having to put the lights on when I want to read something. Like, what's the next tune coming up on my new box set of Love and Rockets? My God, I'm so happy it came today. Thanks to Amazon Prime. And five CDs and a lot of new tunes. Three of the five CDs I already have, except there were bonus tracks on these ones. And then one of them is just an odd assortment of stuff. Nope, don't have any of those. And then the very first one, which I wanted, Teenage Dream, or whatever it's called. Seventh. Oh my God, here goes the light. Seventh Dream of Teenage Heaven. Makes me think of the Twin Peaks that I'm starting to watch the movie of on Netflix. Just, yeah, well, you know, the weirdness of it. There's some weird sound effects in these things, and that's why I love this group so much. It's just so weird at this point to have found a group from the 80s that I just didn't know, except Yin and Yang, the Flowerpot Man, and maybe Ball of Confusion, but really didn't know anything about the group. Not that I know much now, just the three main characters. But by God, I love everything they put out. It's my kind of thing. And I think it's like a blend. There's the psychedelic part that really speaks to me. I mean, that's my big draw. And then the weirdness. So you get a little bit of Pink Floyd, a little bit of David Bowie. Just neat stuff. So you'll be hearing more. You've already been hearing a lot of the tunes on the Dixon Jane's podcast. And, bye, here we go. I don't know if that's dominating the background of while I'm talking to you. It's loud here. I love the fact that I've got a great sound system in this thing. It's such a bonus to this road trek. Like the CD player in the front, great. I'm sitting up here, there's an aux auxiliary in plug, so I can just plug in my iPhone and listen to podcasts when I want to, or CBC radio. And then when I want to get into my Love and Rockets and other stuff, CD collection, bam, fire up the DVD player in the back. And wherever you sit, it's loud, like it's surround sound. So I've got a speaker in the front up here, just a small square box, about 3 inches by 3 inches by 3 inches. But holy fuck, the sound coming out of that thing. Now, you know what else is weird? Here it is Saturday night. I'm at home, except I'm not. I'm in my driveway. I go in the house if I need to have a leak or get something from the fridge. But I'm in my space. My man cave, my escape, which is pretty damn nice, and it gets me away from the TV. But the fact that I haven't been talking, you'd think I'd be coming out of here and getting high every night. I would have used to. I don't know what tense to use there. In the past, I probably would have, but I just don't feel the urge, the drive. And when I cut out the 20-minute clip from the last previous podcast, because I recorded high, and it was kind of, just wasn't much there. I was seeing maybe I'm just afraid to do it. Maybe I'm not comfortable. So I don't know why I'm not. And I've got vape, I've got rolled joints, I've got liquid, I've got gummies. You know, it's not like I'm short of stuff. Boy, in the old days when we used to run out, we'd have to scrape our pipes for the resin, the hash resin. And it was, you know, you were really, you know, that's when if somebody saw you doing that, they go, oh my God, you're addicted to these drugs. What happened? But, hey, we wanted to get high. We ran out of hash. All right, there's got to be a lot of resin here clogging up the pipes. Scrape that out. Good for another couple of tokes. But we did that. But, no, the new mature, or the old too mature, can just... hasn't been lighting up, firing up. I keep telling myself, okay, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. Tomorrow's Father's Day. Not that I need an excuse, but you know, I hear about people doing it. What I should do is go back to when things are a little more open, to one of the pot shops. And try and get some liquid, I guess, that doesn't get me too high. Maybe just a light glow. But would relieve maybe some of the pain in my knee. Because my bloody knee is just going from bad to worse. It's not good. Like, it's just, you know, it's just... I'm limping like an old man just getting up from a chair and going to the kitchen. So, anyway, I'm on to the bonus segment of... the CD. I've compared. I've got the original. I'm listening to Express. Not that it matters, but just telling you. And, oh, it's just, I just love this sound. It kind of gets me high. I guess that's it, too. It just, it's like certain colors in a painting will just blow my mind. And these sounds blow my fucking mind. So... yeah, I'm just going to shut down and listen to this, so I'll be back in a while, okay? Just an intro. Oh, fuck, yeah!
Haunted by your soul.
Check, check once again. Ooh, there goes a, that's a fastback Camaro with louvers on it. Holy shit. I'm in the Colonel Danforth Park. Now, I don't know what he did wrong that the name will have to be changed for. Maybe nothing. There's a lot of Danforth around. No, that'd be a huge job, changing Danforth. But, yeah, let's not go there. It's Sunday afternoon. I've just come back from our church. They had a very well-organized drive-by happy birthday greeting for Jean, who has been with the church longer than anybody, and is 100 years old. It's quite an amazing lady, like sharp as anything, a big, strong voice. Often she'll make the announcements. She comes to our book club and, you know, we'll have questions. We'll have done research, no matter what the topic. She's absolutely fabulous. And so she was sitting on a deck chair with a big hat and a pair of skates at her feet. She still skates. And so her skating club came by and then the church and family and our whole church lined the street, sort of organizing, marshaling the cars from a library up on Lawrence as a sort of holding place, and then instructions to keep your four-way flashers on and park along Orchard Park Boulevard where the church is. And like a lot of people working to make this go smoothly. And then you drive up and stop and lean forward, and Greta was there, our minister, and her husband, Scott, and nice to see them. And it was actually, it felt good, not just seeing and waving at Jean and wearing red because it's her favorite color, but seeing the other members of the church I haven't seen for so long in real life. Like, I'd sort of forgotten how connected I was to them, all behind their masks, but it just, there was a nice connection, and I do miss it. I don't like the Zoom. I don't go to the services online. I was very, almost adamant, no, I won't be involved in the men's group if we try and do a Zoom men's group. But I would like to be back in church, with these people. Again, there was a connection. I was thinking maybe now that I've been away so long, it's time just to, maybe I don't need it anymore. But after today, I'm thinking, no, I'd still like to go back. But in real life, in the flesh. So, yeah, I'm in this wonderful little park. We had to exit onto Kingston Road in one direction, and I knew that direction took me to Colonel Danforth Park. It's a lovely, huge park. And a couple of people have commented, maybe it's because of the changes as a result of COVID, but the sky is an incredibly clear blue today. Not a cloud anywhere. Beautiful blue. And somebody else commented on their pictures. They did a hike along the Niagara Escarpment. How green everything is, the trees, and they look just incredible. I'm just sitting on a rock in the shade, surrounded by trees. It's a lovely place to be. It is a good feeling to be back outside again. I mentioned that the day I did the talk, and I made that point, but deleted the whole 20-minute talk. So now I'm telling you again, real life, wow, to be outside, how wonderful it feels. Somebody, there's a family just around behind me. They've got a full-size tent pitched, a picnic table with everything on it, and a barbecue going, and they're cooking their lunch. It's like they're actually camped here. Like, you're not allowed to, but maybe it's just, it seems an awful lot of work just for the day. And they've got the perfect spot, like a whole section of the parking lot is just theirs. It's a family. Well done. Good for them. Good for them. So, yeah, I'm feeling good. I felt good. And I think that's why I held off podcasting. I made a list of notes you would not believe from things to talk about. And they're all kind of ugly. And I think it's definitely in relation to, all the news we're getting. There was yet another murder by police in Atlanta. And I'll call it murder again because he was shot in the back trying to escape. A guy who fell asleep drunk in his, well, here I go, in his car at a Wendy's parking lot. And I guess they called, I don't know, one story said he was blocking the drive through. And if that's the case, yeah, you got to get that guy out of there. But it went from a routine arrest. And the guy, yeah, the guy tried to get away. Managed to, with two cops, he managed to get the taser off on them and started running. And so they shot him dead. There were other ways. They said, look, you got his license. You got everything about him. You can find him at home. There's no way this guy is, you know, wanted for mass murder. You didn't have. Anyway. So you can, you know, the Wendy's got torched. And I didn't care about that. Oh, God, it's so hard not to get into it. But I will say, one of the thoughts that's come up, and I've heard it expressed from people I know, and I've heard it expressed by strangers, people are so on edge now on the internet, through social media, which has heightened the problems and is the cause of a lot of the extremes in terms of this side or that side and the anger and the frustration. It's enraged people, and there are things to be enraged about. That's not the problem. But it's got so that some people, maybe the fragile white people, are afraid to post, afraid to say something, afraid to comment, because it could so easily be misconstrued. I posted comments about, I think I mentioned this, about renaming, in this case, a town, and it's the town of Russell. I don't know if I mentioned this. Sorry if I'm repeating myself. He was owned slaves and wanted to keep slavery going. Maybe that was on the last podcast. Anyway, just change the last name. Instead of making a last name, make it a first name and welcome everybody in the world named Russell. And I did it kind of just to bring some humor into it because there was so much anger directed at this person who doesn't live in Russell anymore but started the petition to change the name. His father and mother still live there. It was vicious. And I thought, just inject some humor here, and because I couldn't imagine when I see the signs of the signage alone, and then people say, well, you can't make decisions based on money. Well, fuck, there's a lot of money being spent, there's a lot of money being lost, there's a lot of money that's going to have to be recovered or whatever, there's a lot of money that could be put to much better things. Community centers, access, you know, more teachers' assistance, whatever it takes. So that's one of the reasons I'm not in favor of signage change. But educate the people, and just erasing something or tearing down the statue doesn't fix the problem. It might make some people feel better in the act of doing it, you know. But there's other things, other ways of dealing with this. So anyway, the thing is, I think the people who are listening to this podcast already know everything I'm talking about, and it's sometimes we share opinions. God, is somebody smoking weed? Sure as hell smells like it. Can't get away from that these days. Not that I'm complaining. So, yeah, I guess the only thing I wanted to say is I still have heroes. Heroes are important to me. I would be devastated if somebody silenced Sam Harris. And he's a controversial figure for some, but he makes so much sense. And the topic of this week's was just about that, how for him, the only way forward, the only way to progress, to advance the human race, to make better societies, is through dialogue, is through conversation, is through talking. And what's happening now is this just shouting, and people aren't really listening. And I buy into that 100%. He is the voice of reason. And he posted in today's latest episode, conversation itself has become dangerous. And that's a sad state of affairs. So Sam Harris, I champion. I've always talked about my heroes in the past, my Timothy Learys, my Henry Millers, always the rebels, always the people who push back, who aren't afraid to speak out against the establishment. And although some may think he represents the establishment, I don't think he does. I think he's just an outspoken, clear-headed thinker. And thank God, except he knows and I know there isn't one, for Sam Harris. The second one is Slate, the Political Gab Fest, just to hear things. Now, the thing about both those, and the third, Bill Maher, is that I am listening to the voices that represent the views I already hold. And, you know, some people think that's problematic. Well, hey, where are you going to get a different opinion? Well, I don't want a different opinion. I think these people make sense. I like where they're coming from. Slate at least has some debate and discussion and differences of opinion in between the three of them. So that's Slate Political Gab Fest. And I mentioned the third, Bill Maher. And even though I don't agree with everything he says, another outspoken person fired from television networks for saying that the people who flew the planes into the Twin Towers in New York were not cowards. And he was right, but the network didn't like that, didn't like the tone of that. So anyway, there you go. So I guess I'm saying I'm grateful for these people. Oh, one more, John Cleese, who recently petitioned the CBC and or the BBC in England, who he claims are full of cowards now, people who only want to hang on to their jobs, so they will do anything to appease the masses. And if people write in and complain about something, they'll go along with it because they want to keep their jobs. And one of them was they took down an episode of Fawlty Towers where the major, a despicable character way behind the times, used the N-word. And because of that, they took it down. Now they've said, okay, we'll put it back, but with extra, extra warnings beforehand in case anybody gets hurt by the use of that word by the major, this character who is supposed to have been made fun of and mocked because he is so behind the times. And Cleese really let loose. You know, he didn't hold anything back in terms of attacking the BBC for its cowardliness and the fact that it's all accountants and bean counters and nobody who's on, you know, making the decisions are really creative people anymore. There are no more artists. It's only people who run businesses. And that's a sad state of affairs. So, yeah, I hold John Cleese up there, too, in that group. And the Highway of Tears, we won't talk about. Canadians will know what that is. New York Vulture magazine. No, we've talked about Gone with the Wind. And how about just this? For that matter, what should HBO Max do about Friends, having shelled out more than $400 million for streaming rights to a show its own co-creator and stars now call a time capsule for its all-white cast and willed oblivion about racial diversity? Yeah, they're stuck with it. They've paid $400 million. Now what are they going to do about the show Friends with no diversity whatsoever? Does anybody still want to watch it? Will you be called something if you do watch it? Okay. And then the last part was The Big Bang. Did I talk about The Big Bang? Maybe I'll just come up. I've got lines and lines. Bottom line, at the moment of The Big Bang, all of the energy in the universe, some of which would later become galaxies, stars, planets, and human beings, was concentrated into a tiny point, smaller than the nucleus of an atom. And it's not just matter that was born in the Big Bang. In the view of modern cosmologists, matter and space and time all began when that microscopic point suddenly expanded violently and exponentially. So there you go. I had a whole lot more to read about that. The whys and whatever caused the universe left no evidence of its existence for us to study. No clue as to what it was. It is also likely that, being something completely outside the universe, we would, in any event, be unable to comprehend it. If there is a thing, you know, when people ask, well, what about before the Big Bang? This raises an old philosophical question of whether time is a human construct or exists independently of us. Now, that's interesting. The human brain is not well equipped for dealing with such concepts. Wonderful, wonderful stuff. So on the slightly more positive note, gosh, that took up 15 minutes. Good. And I did not spend too much time on too many negative things, except for this bloody knee that is just completely misbehaving. It was just hard walking up this little hill. I'm feeling good again, and I can attribute it to the fresh air and sunshine, even though I'm sitting in the shade under the trees, a maple tree at that. Oh, a beaut. No, honestly, just looking around, it's uplifting. So if you haven't had enough of that yourself, and you have the opportunity to get outside, get into some space where there are not too many humans, like I'm distant. There's nobody near me right now at all, the place I chose to park myself. And I'll soon be heading home. And gosh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stop at the LCBO, Liquor Control Board of Ontario, for you out-of-provincers, and buy some beer. I don't have any beer at home, and it's Father's Day. Hey, if a dad can't drink beer on Father's Day, something's wrong with this picture. By the way, my good friends who I always stay with when I'm in Vancouver, my special place to stay, aside from my son's place and Barnacle Bill's place, because those are special too, but this other place in North Vancouver, they just bought themselves a beautiful Jayco camper, a biggie, a 31-footer. So I have the feeling they'll be heading to cross-country next year when we can visit other provinces, and won't that be fun to hook up with them? Okay, so yeah, positive notes all around, because my God, there is just so much to be sad and angry and upset about. And too much of that, too steady a diet of that is just gonna make you sick. So I hope that the Dixon James podcast sometimes brings a little, I don't know, sunshine. No, not much sunshine coming from me. Oh, by the way, I mentioned on Twitter that I found a little silver USB thing. Very small, plugged it into my computer, and sure enough, it was a 70th birthday gift that Rob Lee and Catherine Matthews had organized, and got people from my friends in the podcasting community to chime in and wish me birthday wishes. And Catherine sort of interspersed wonderful choices of music in there. And I had completely forgotten about it. My wife, I think she was lifting up cushions and found it somewhere. And I just picked it up, plugged it in, and thought, oh, damn it, isn't that nice? So I think it means a little more to me now than it did, how old am I now, two years ago. It is, because I found it and had forgotten about it. And it was nice. And, you know, when I need a little lift from the community, I'll just plug this thing in and play it. All right. Boys and girls, Scarborough Dude, feeling kind of happy, and gosh damn it, if there's any way I could make you happy, I wish I could too. One of the things I did say on the podcast that I wanted to keep, but I didn't, the stoned clip, was how good it would feel to hug some of you out there. I say some of you, I'm not meaning to leave anybody out, but if I started listing names, somebody's going to feel sad. Quite a few of you. In fact, if anybody wants to give me a hug, I won't say no. But now is not the time. Not now. Keep your distance, as Catherine Matthews is fond of saying, and Suze Muse too, to name a few. Scarborough Dude, back at you in a little while. But first, you're going to hear some wonderful music from Love and Rockets. I think I'll have to play. Should I play Lucifer Sam, or do I need something a little more upbeat? Yeah, we'll see. Just listen. Bye for now. Okay. I have the mic on high sensitivity, which I never do, but just so you can hear the sound of the waves and the happy children sitting beachside in Bluffers Park. It's full of people, and it's just so nice to have a beach so close on Lake Ontario, and the water's clean. People are out in it, mostly children. I mean, I wouldn't get in there, but it is very, very nice. So, anyway, that's just the background, the sound for your listening pleasure. The song Lucifer, Sam, now, of course, I only knew that from Pink Floyd. It's the first time I've heard the Love and Rockets version. And I love going to the websites that sort of try and explain the meaning of songs. So here we go on Lucifer, Sam. The most popular explanation was, Lucifer, Sam, oh my God, people, has any of you owned a Siamese cat? This song is about a Siamese cat, not much more. Those cats will never let go of their master. They are always by your side. It's unexplainable. And quite astonishing, actually. They may hide from others and will only come out of hiding when their master shows up. They're almost an extension of the master. And as a witness, and even as the master, you often have the urge to just banish them. Be a hip cat, be a ship's cat, somewhere, anywhere. So, there you go. Most popular explanation for the song by Pink Floyd and sung by Love and Rockets. And here we are with the second most popular explanation. Okay, everyone seems to be wrong, and this song is about Jennifer, Sid's ex-girlfriend, who it appears Sid wanted to be rid of. Okay, so there you go. Back to the waves, and that'll be the end of this little clip. Checking in. Yeah, it is Monday, another beautiful day. It's cool. I'm actually, because I'm sitting in the shade, I'm wearing a little jacket windbreaker. Actually, everything I'm wearing, my wife bought me. That's not a surprise. Anyway, I'm at Bluffers Park, a favorite area of the, what I call the, it's not the boat launch area, it's facing that. Yeah, the cat side, I called it. Although I never see the cats now. They've almost all of about two dozen were adopted out. And there's a couple, half mask and another one, that are fed regularly all the time with regular reports from the feeders. But there's a special spot under two trees that's facing the inlet where those noisy sidoos come in and out, but there's none of those today, fortunately. And they're doing a lot of work in the park, and so some of it's fenced off on the other side. But it's lovely to be here. It's a perfect day, and today I remembered to pack a chair, and that makes a difference. So I was able to pick a spot to, okay, that's where I'm sitting, and that's exactly what I'm doing now. And I'm just going to try and keep this short. I've been listening to the Sam Harris podcast, the latest one. Gosh, can't remember what it's called. It won't make any sense if I don't tell you the name. But it's sort of the other side of the swinging pendulum with regards to I guess, Black Lives Matter movement, but more so defunding the police. I think I would say that was the topic, the theme. It's episode number 207, Can We Pull Back from the Brink? And a lot of people would be made uncomfortable by it, and he says that right up front. But he asks everybody who's listening to check your own emotional reactions, see where they're coming from and why. And he brings in a lot of statistics. And I guess a lot of it is on the focus of, you know, this, the recent, I've been calling them murders by police. And he raises some really uncomfortable questions. So I'm not going to get into it here, but I'm just going to say I would recommend people, especially my fragile white friends, to have a listen if you have the courage. It's not like there's a lot of other episodes by Sam Harris that I love, and it's intellectual, and it's discussions about so many topics, and it's always with another guest. This time he's gone solo. And there's a very long introduction about how difficult it was to do this one. And I'm sure he would make a lot of enemies. I've talked about, and other people have, how people have already got their minds made up. You know what camp you're in. So there are some who, the moment he starts talking, would just dismiss him. Say he's racist, he's, you know, fascist, he's conservative, he's this, he's that. And I don't see it that way. I see it as a man who's really challenging people to look at things. For example, I guess one of the points, just not to make a mystery of all this, but how many more white people have been killed by police officers? And that just doesn't make the news. It's not a newsworthy story. It's just not covered. And how much black-on-black crime, when you look at the stats, it's just outrageous, but this is not the time to talk about that either. And just the hypocrisy, I guess, of people calling for defund the police, and it's all the police who are at fault, and the whole system is fundamentally racist. There are a lot of racists within the police force. He's not denying that. But he is questioning people who are do we really need police? I don't know how many are really thinking that way. And I'm certainly in favor of looking at police budgets. I think it's ridiculous that you get police at construction sites on the street. And they're just always just standing there talking to the foreman. Nobody's doing anything. You could have rent-a-cops for that. For so many things, he even mentioned, or not him, but other people have mentioned traffic tickets. Hey, that can be done by camera, by parking lot enforcers, not police with these huge salaries. And justifiable. I'm not saying lower their salary. I'm saying they'll get good trained people, but have the job redefined as what are the responsibilities of police. So there's a lot to think about there. I'm trying to stay away from it so that this podcast is not just about all the heavy stuff all of you are already exposed to. But I just have admiration for people who have courage to go out and take an opposing point of view. And right now I see it everywhere. People just following the party line and just beginning, yep, this is right, this is wrong. And trying to simplify things and appear to be coming out on the right side when there's a lot more to it. It's not as simple. And to have a real honest conversation about what needs to be fixed, you've got to be really open about it and address all issues and not just, what's being shown on television, for example. I think here in Canada, my God, there's so much to be done, and that has already hurt so many people. It's just our relations with not just the black community, but with the Indigenous people. And that's a whole issue. And again, I think it's another one that there's no simple fix to it. There's a lot that has to be explored and taught. What is the way forward? And this idea of just piling guilt onto white people for all the things they've done wrong in the past isn't necessarily helpful. educating people is, being aware, but looking towards the future and how do we make a better world, is an important direction to move in. So anyway, let's park that. Oh, got my McDonald's coffee. I'm going to dig into a little Robert Mitchum. It is a glorious day, and I just knew, okay, this is the time to get out. I've put on my brace so I can maybe take a walk a little later. I'll drive to the... It's a huge park once you come down the hill. So where I'm sitting is on sort of the opposite one end of the park, and the other end is the beach where there are some lovely walks. So I'll think about that. I guess, gosh, darn. Oh, yeah. when I recorded Sunday, yesterday, I was talking about Father's Day. That's not till next weekend. So it's quite funny that my wife had last weekend as Father's Day and bought that chocolate cake. I had it yesterday, went out and bought 5 beer. One of them, or at least partly the excuse I had, was it was Barnacle Bill's birthday out in Vancouver. He just turned 73. He sent me a wonderful picture today of his birthday night. The people I mentioned who just bought the Jayco, that couple where I stay, I don't know why I don't call them by some name. Maybe I better work on that. They're private people, like a lot of people I know. They took him out to dinner, as is just a tradition. People out west, we really had family. It wasn't just friends. We were really family. And we were family partly because we left our families back in Montreal, Lachine, and moved out west and started entirely new lives and became very, very close. So it's a little different from the friends I've made through social media, through podcasting. And we did have wild times in Vancouver from the early 70s on. It was absolutely crazy. We're much more sensible now, but still like to have fun and still love nothing more than going out and having a few really good pints and a toke with friends we love dearly. All right, so that's it. Happy birthday, Barnacle Bill. I had one. I had a beer called the Common Loon from Bob Cajun. And it was a really very nice IPA. And gosh, I would buy that again for sure. Very, very decent. And lovely, lovely can. Of course, picture of a loon on it. All right, Scarborough Dude signing off. Just wanted to be a shorty. I hope you enjoyed the two songs. And I'm gonna make sure I squeeze in one more from Love and Rockets. Bye for you now. Bye for you now. Yeah, whatever. Bye-bye. Yeah, check, check, check. Oh, he just fell off his, you know, those speedboat things. Good, he's got to swim to it. Asshole. People are laughing. The hot doggers, you know, and they're the things I hate, the Sea-Doos. They're just, I guess they come out, I guess a pair of buddies. Maybe it's more fun that way. But that guy, yeah, he just went flying backwards. Right in front of us, there were laughter. There's laughter in the background. Anyway, plane's going overhead. I'm in Bluffers Park again. It's 5 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon, and I just want to get this thing done. I've got so much to say. I think, I hope, just prior to this, you would have heard a quote from Sam Harris, who I keep talking about. We'll see if that if I manage to do that, probably. Otherwise, this won't make any sense. It's about identity politics, which he's rallying against. And I hear that term a lot, and I understand it. But this time, I decided I'd do a little more research into it. And there's a whole lot I could read to you. I'll try not to, but I'll just, this one quote, adding politics to this toxic mixture of alienation and fragmentation, that's because people are identifying by their group, whether it's the, you know, lesbian, gay, black, this, that, whoever, increases tribalism and cocooning. It also diverts and distracts the users from their energy and attention from the sort of political activity that actually makes a difference, the dog work of electing candidates and changing policy. And we're hearing a lot about that, like get out and vote, never mind just demonstrating. And there's a lot of talk here about the pointlessness, in fact, the negativeness of using social media, because people feel, there, I like that, or I posted that, as if that makes any change, and it doesn't. Much easier to post your praise or more often outrage against whatever for the applause of people who share the same opinions. Worse, it blurs the distinction between expressing an opinion and taking effective action. And expressing an opinion or applauding one eventually seems enough. These guys are going crazy. Like, it's full speed, close to the rocks here. There's three of them now. Somebody is going to get hurt. And, of course, somebody's always got the faster machine, wants to show off. It attracts. Okay, Sea-Doos attract pricks. Okay, here's my opinion, right? I'm for sailboats and canoeists. These are a different people. The assholes running these machines that they spend a fortune for, burning gas. Whoa, my God. Okay. You know, let's park that. You've heard me rant about it before. One more example here, or a point really made. At Cambridge University, a student agitation resulted in the return of a statue of a chicken to Benin. Benin is in West Africa. I had to pass through there. Which was achieved with much self-congratulatory fanfare. A mighty blow against colonialism had apparently been struck. Benin is now richer by one chicken statue. But that exhausts this movement's contribution to a better and juster world. Now, did you get that? They're applauding themselves because they took a statue that Britain had, you know, appropriated and brought it back to the people of Benin. And now their work is done. Again, the basic motive behind these political gestures is to seek applause. We have shown that our hearts are in the right place versus the colonialism of our ancestors by returning this statue of a Nigerian prince. Internet outrages are an endless series of attitude check-ins. All right, enough on that. There's just so much to get into. I guess I want to say I'm so active these days, but it's because I have all this free time. Like, I'm still taping movies. I'm thrilled. I've got two Robert Mitchum movies that are being taped or recorded and that I can watch, which I haven't seen. And that means a lot. And then I'll go back and I'll reread the section from the book when he was making that film. By the way, the older he's getting, I mean, he's really likable at times, and other times when he's drunk, like, and he has to do these Hollywood, you know, press releases for new movies and things, He gets vicious when he's drunk. And this, he was on a bender here, drunk for days, and threw a basketball at some reporter so that the camera hit her right in her face, smashed her glasses and so on. And somebody else just reached in and grabbed her tit, you know, in the middle of her wanting to ask a question. Things that, well, in today's, this is 1980. Wow. Try that today. Anyway, he was sued. He lost all the money he made on a film and the following project, The Winds of War. All of that money went to pay legal expenses and settlements. So, I mean, he paid for it. But, yeah, he goes from somebody who I deeply admire and like, but also, my God, as a flawed human. It seems to be, you know, Henry Miller, Jack Kerouac, all the heroes, Timothy Leary, all of them are so flawed. And maybe that's maybe that's part of the appeal to me. I don't know. So I guess that's it. 6 minutes. And if I gave you another few minutes of Sam Harris, that would wrap up Dixon Jane's podcast number 794. Moving on for 800. And our friend Jason from Tennessee, or Tennessee Jake. I'd like to call me. The other day I thought, I'd like Jake instead of the Jason. Get rid of the Jason. Tennessee Jake. So, yeah, we'll try that out for a little while. See how it fits. Tennessee Jake is moving up to 500 episodes, so good for him. I believe he might be in Florida now or on his way to Florida. And boy, oh boy, the number of cases of COVID-19. Be careful. But he keeps, they stick pretty close to the family. And I think they look after each other. All right, Scarborough Dude, unless there's something else. Signing off. God, all these notes I made on so much stuff. I guess that's what I wanted to say. Yeah. So the Mitchum book, still, you know, taking pictures of every movie I've seen, posting it up on Twitter, thinking about things, keeping myself mentally active. And I notice here one final thing, because of all this downtime, I'm actually driving slower, like still just a tad above the speed limit, but I've before it seemed I'm just always racing, and then I have to consciously whoa, put the brakes on, slow down. Now I don't seem to be in such a hurry anymore, and that's a good thing. So all right, time to head home and barbecue some chicken. Barbecued steaks last night. Oh, my God, were they ever good. Sirloin. My wife noticed, hey, they're a little thinner cut than they used to be because the cost of meat is going up. But, my God, they were good. Just salt and pepper. And cooked just right, seared both sides. And then just, you know, rare. Yeah. All right, Scarborough Dude. God damn, signing off. I got things to read, things to do, and just, yeah, feeling good, feeling fucking good. That's the moon I want to go in on. Feeling fucking good. Yeah, why not? Fuck you. If you aren't, try and change it. Oh, God, there was another. Yeah, asshole. Bye for now.
Penny gets you in, but it won't.